I'm excited for today. As you heard last week, if you were here last week, we concluded our One Another series last week, and today we're starting something new. It's always fun to start something new. This is one of those fun ones. It's going to be a little bit of a journey. I have kind of a general idea of where I want to go with this. Sometimes when a pastor or somebody puts a sermon series together, it's very clearly planned and laid out. And there's sermons on a like scheduled for a Sunday. It's like, I'm doing this, and I know it's going to end here. And this is one of those ones, which is honestly becoming more normal for me, I guess, where I'm just kind of like, okay, Lord, I think this is where we're going. This is the direction. I think you're like putting on my heart to say and do in the direction here. But I have no idea how long it's going to be. I have no idea I know what I'm talking about next week. But honestly, that's about it. I kind of have a general, like, I know we're going this way. So I'm just excited about it. It kind of feels fun. It's a little freeing. It's like, hey, this could be anything we want it to be. You could let me know, hey, what about this? And I could do a sermon on it. I don't know. But we're going to be in this series that I don't know if this is the best thing to call it, but it's a question that I'm hoping to answer in this series. So we can put it up there. It's what does it mean to be a Christian? That's actually a really important question. Not just for people who are new or young in their faith, not just for people who are maybe curious about exploring the Christian faith, exploring what it means to follow Jesus, but this is actually a really important question to answer for people who have been, you know, a Christian, or people who may have called themselves a Christian for a really long time. Because really, a lot of people, and we'll talk about this, this will be something that pops up as we go through answering this question. Like most questions, if we asked 100 people this question, we would get a lot of different answers, right? And even in this room, we would get a lot of different answers, because different folks, we've had different experiences, and we might emphasize different elements of what comes to our mind first when we hear a question like this. And the reality is, there's not just a simple one-line answer to this question. We have a whole New Testament, right? That's hundreds of thousands of words that kind of lay out. This is kind of the picture, right? We have the life of Jesus in the Gospels that kind of paint this picture of his life and his character and his posture, the way he did things, the things he said, the way he said them. We have all of that. But it's still really important for us to just come back to this and go back to some of the most foundational baseline elements of, man, who are we? And then how are we called to live in light of that? Who is Jesus? How are we called to live in light of that? So I am going to attempt, though, and this is risky, a short answer. Now, the whole series is going to ultimately answer this in chunks, different dynamics, different aspects, and all of those things. We're going to do some deep dives. We're going to do some big zoom out moments. But a short answer, what does it mean to be a Christian, would include things like this. Short-ish answer I put on there, okay? What does it mean to be a Christian? If you miss the rest of the series, or if you're just like, I'm out, I can at least say, I gave you a pretty good idea, okay? I am following Jesus. Being a Christian means I'm following Jesus, okay? I trust him with every aspect of my life. Being a Christian is not just, I prayed a prayer one day and asked him to forgive me my sins, and then I just went on with my normal life. Okay? I trust him not just with my sins, I trust him with every aspect of my life. I'm learning to obey everything he instructs me to do. Jesus is the creator of the universe. He's the Lord of Lords. He is God. He deserves and demands our obedience. That is what's best for us. The ultimate purpose and goal of my life is to be like Christ. Every aspect of my life is lived in grateful, loving response to his love for me. Everything starts with me coming to grips with and an awareness of and a saturation in his love for me. Everything starts there. And all of this really builds on that. Maybe I should have said that first. But every aspect of my life is lived in response to that love and grace that I've received from him. Now, all of us reading even a short-ish answer like this, it's kind of like, okay, that actually sounds kind of heavy, which it is. And we all fall short of this in various ways. But if you're a Christian, you at least read these statements, and in your heart, you're saying, yes. Yes, this is the desire of my heart. This is what I want. This is what I'm leaning into. I know I fall short of this, but yes. And if you read the statement and you're like, I can't get behind that. That's okay. You know, you may not have really made that decision yet, okay? So this isn't a guilt trip for anyone who's not here. But again, the point of this series, the point of where we're going here is to say, what does it mean to be a Christian? And if you're a Christian, that's kind of the nutshell. That's a nutshell. There's other things you could say. Any short answer, it's like, okay, even as I wrote this, I was like, yeah, there's other stuff. There's other stuff I want to say. There's other stuff that might fit in this, but this kind of, just about anything else we could say, in some way, it's going to fit into one of these statements, okay? The longer answer is sermon series. Let's go. So I want to talk about four kinds of people. Four kinds of people. These aren't the only four kinds of people. There's more, but these are four big buckets of people as it relates to where people stand with Jesus, where people stand when it comes to their relationship with the teachings of Christ, their relationship with the Christian faith. Okay? There are people who are just straight up skeptical. Most people, we live just in a place in the world where this is a large number of people, a really large number of people. Most people in our context don't wake up and they're like, I want to be a Christian, right? They're not waking up looking for a place to go to church on Sunday, and they don't really want to. And that's okay. We're not here to force anybody to go to church. And Jesus said that would be normal. Jesus said the road that leads to life is narrow, and there are few who get on that road. And repeatedly throughout the New Testament, Jesus and the apostles said over and over again, there's just going to be more and more not reception of Jesus and the way of Jesus, there's going to be more and more opposition. Like, they kind of said people are going to just more and more be not okay with who Jesus is and what he stands for. And the way of being that he calls his people to operate within. And so our primary job, and really the point of this series, is not to like argue or convince people in this category of why you should want to be a Christian necessarily, right? We have a whole realm of, within Christianity where that we call apologetics, the idea of giving a response, giving an answer to people, and there's great value and importance in that. There's a place for that, but at the same time, I think our primary job is not actually to argue with people who don't want to follow Jesus. I'm just going to say that. I don't think it's our primary job to just go out and like look for fights with people and be like, this is why you should follow Jesus. And like our neck veins start popping out. You know, it's like, I just don't think that that's actually what we're called to be. We're called to be disciples of Jesus first, okay? That will lead to conversations. That will lead to interactions. That will lead to fruitful relationships and interactions with people, okay? But the goal here is not to, like, crush people's rejection of Jesus, all right? The goal really here is mostly for those of us who are already followers of Jesus to kind of get back to some of the basics of what this means. Now, two, some people, they're just curious. They are, we sometimes will, or often will call them seekers. They're open to exploring faith and spirituality. They're like, man, yeah, I like, and it may not even just be Christianity. They may just be kind of looking at the full spectrum of different ideas and philosophies, beliefs, potential things that might kind of fulfill this longing inside that we all have. Like, I just feel like there's got to be something more, and there's a lot of people out here doing different stuff, spiritual stuff, and I'm just kind of open to exploring what fits that hole inside of me, right? Maybe they're up for anything. And a lot of these people are very discerning, smart people. They're not just up for anything. They're looking for something that is genuinely real. And that's a good thing. They're looking for real answers, not fluff. And the Christian faith does provide those answers, okay? So we'll talk about that. Third group, this is a group that many people, and this is a large number of people, identify themselves as Christians. Say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But are they? And there are all kinds of categories of people, you know, in name only. That's what nominal means. It means they have this title, they say they belong to a particular group, but you look at their life and there seems to be a disconnect, or there doesn't seem to be a real serious devotion that you might expect from someone who says they believe something, right? You know, this is, I'm not here to knock on any Catholics or people with a Catholic background, but this is, there's kind of a, even among Catholics, right? Like I talk to people and they're like, you know, you have people who are serious Catholics here in our context and they stand out. We're good friends with some really serious Catholic, devout Catholics. And even they look at a lot of other Catholics and they're like, yeah, like they're not really being Catholic, you know? it's just the truth. In any belief system, you have some folks that's like, oh yeah, I'm not Catholic. Like, I was baptized as a baby. And it's like, when was the last time you've been to church? I don't know, but I'm Catholic, right? It's like this kind of this idea, this family thing right? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm trying to live a good life. I'm spiritual. For a lot of people, like, being Christian just means being, like, I have this spiritual idea that involves Jesus in some way. It's kind of mysterious. But there's little to no genuine engagement or devotion to Jesus, to being his disciple, to learning to adhere to his teachings, the way of life that he said, this is what I'm calling my people to be. To the Jesus who said, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and die daily to yourself. And then we have a lot of people, a lot of Christians fall into this category. Believers who genuinely love Jesus. They really genuinely love Jesus. They would read all of those statements that I put on the first slide, and they're like, yes, this is what I want. I want a thriving, devoted faith that just flows through me and in me and out of me, that makes a difference, that is just real in me. And I want that. But their spiritual life just feels dry. It feels like an engine that's been pumped full of sand. And it's like, is this it? What difference does my faith really make in my life? Really, like, what really distinguishes my life and the meaning and just the real practical daily difference that my faith makes in my life compared to somebody else who's just living a normal life? Like, what's different other than the fact that, like, I do a different activity on Sunday than they do? I don't know what I'm really here to do. I don't know, like, I know it's not all about feeling something, right? I know my faith, it's not just like this emotional ride, but should I feel something, like, at all, right? I just don't feel anything. But I want to. Or on the flip side, you have some where it's like, all I really have is an emotional experience one day a week, where it's like a high mountaintop experience, right? My Sunday experience, come and have your Sunday experience. But then it's just like back to Monday, and there's no real traction, no genuine, real communion with Jesus throughout the week. I want more, but I just don't know. I don't know, right? They're like Christian seekers. And this isn't always like we're always here. Sometimes we just go through different seasons and stages of our faith, and these things can come and go with life and just things, the rhythms of life. We have spring seasons in our walk with Christ, we have summer seasons, we have fall seasons, we have winter seasons. And sometimes this stuck feeling is, sometimes it's just, you're just in a winter, you know? And we can talk about that. There are things we can do in those moments. It doesn't mean everything's wrong, it doesn't mean everything's broken, but sometimes we all find ourselves in that place. And there's other things we could put here, but these are four big ones. Okay. There are really healthy, thriving, exuberant believers who are just ready to go too, right? That's another category. Those people do exist, okay? They're out there. We're in this room, right? But we all go through seasons and cycles, and it's normal. And that's one of the things we're gonna talk about is learning to identify even some of those cycles and stages and seasons as we're following Jesus and thinking through, okay, how can I be aware of where I'm at? Identifying and having a sense of awareness of where other people are at, being sensitive to that, right? All of that. But important to ask, which one of these people are you? Which one of these people are you? You don't have to answer out loud. I'm not going to make everybody turn into groups and, you know, talk about it with each other. Or maybe you would describe yourself in a different way, right? Not everybody is going to fit into one of these categories, and that's okay. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. But even if you're not in one of these groups right now, you can definitely relate to one or more of them. In some season of your life, you've been there. But it is important to have that personal inward look to just evaluate, okay, where am I right now with Jesus? What is the, to take a little thermostat and apply it to your spirit and just say, kind of, what's the temperature right now? And as we begin this series, I'm not going to answer a ton of questions today. We're just going to ask a bunch of questions, which is a lot of fun. It's a lot easier than answering them. So I like this one. Question. I want everyone to answer this question. What do you want Jesus to do for you? This sounds like a really selfish question. It's like, Kevin, what are you talking about? Gosh, what does that even mean? I want to read this passage that I think is just, it's one of these, you know, Jesus didn't do this with everybody, but he did it with this guy that we're going to read about. And there is something so powerful about this moment. And as we read what we're about to read, I want you to, as much as possible, just like turn on your imagination, the imagination part of your brain. You know, sometimes we read scripture and it's like we're in just full rational logic mode, and we need to practice and learn more and more degree by degree how to enter into scripture, read scripture with our imagination turned on, with our heart turned on, and just try to immerse ourselves, especially in the Gospels, maybe more than anywhere else. Just kind of imagine that you're just in the crowd here, and just think thoughtfully about these moments, these interactions. But let's read this here in Luke. We're in Luke 18, starting in verse 35. And Jesus was approaching Jericho, and a blind man sitting by the road was begging, because that's what blind men had to do. The blind man heard this crowd passing by, and he inquired, "What's going on? Like, what's the deal with this crowd?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He's like, okay, he's probably heard about this guy. So the blind man called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Show some kindness to me. Help me. Do something for me. Help me out." Then those in front told him, "Keep quiet, blindy.
They're like, get out of here.
Jesus is coming. We're here. We're in front. You're not even going to see him. You don't need to be here. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. Like, I don't know how many people were in this crowd. I don't know how many people were shouting, right? There's commotion, there's elbows, there's a hustle here, there's things going on. I don't know how sharply was this man's voice coming out above the general commotion of what was going on. I don't know, but like, try to imagine. All of these things are going on, and Jesus just stops. And Jesus commanded that the man be brought to him. When he came closer, Jesus asked the man, what do you want me to do for you? It seems like such an absurd question, right? Like, Jesus, why? Like, it's kind of like a duh moment, isn't it? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus just hands this guy a blank check, right? But Jesus gives him the opportunity to say it. He gives him the opportunity to make that request and to name it specifically. Jesus already knows, but he's just drawing it out of this man. He's like, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus, the man couldn't see Jesus' expression, but his face was just filled with compassion. Filled with love for this man. What do you want me to do for you? And he said, I want to see. I want to be able to see Jesus. You got it. Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. So. This is another one of those. A few weeks ago, we talked about the mysterious connection between physical and spiritual healing. This is another one of those fun examples. What do you want me to do for you? I wanna see. Why do we pray? Why do we tell God what we want? Why do we ask Him? Why do we go to His throne of grace? His throne of grace. He's just ruling the universe, waiting to give us grace. If we would just go to his throne and say, I've got a request. There's something I know you got a lot, but there's just this thing on my heart. There's this thing I want. There's something that I feel like I need right now. Why do we, if he already knows what we need, he already knows what we're going to ask, why do we pray? So that when he gives it to us, we get to just, right, throw up our hands, praise him again and again with a heart that just sings hallelujah, a heart filled with gratitude, and so that he gets the glory, he gets the praise. So that we know it was him. He's the one who gives every good gift. So that we can't look at ourselves and say, yeah, look at what I accomplished for myself. So I dare you to answer that question. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Think deeply about that. Write down your answer, write a prayer, or really think about that and take that to the Lord, like for real. Even if you're not a Christian, right? Even if you're just a seeker, if you're just like, I don't know where I stand with you, Jesus, but I've got something on my heart. And this is vulnerable. And now, we can also talk about the other side of prayer where it's like, he knows things we don't know. In this case, Jesus gave the man what he asked for. Are there times where we go to the throne of grace and we ask for something and he's like, I know what's actually best for you right now. And so, Jesus doesn't give us always what we ask. Sometimes he gives us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. Tim Keller. But that doesn't mean we don't ask. Make that ask of Jesus. What do you want him to do for you? And my hope is that as we go through exploring more and more what this means, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow Jesus, I genuinely believe that whatever it is that is just the deepest longing of your heart, the thing that you just feel like is a hole and you're just trying to fill it, I genuinely believe, and this has been my experience, so we can talk about that, Jesus has the answer to whatever that is for you. It may not be the thing on the surface that you're asking for initially. There may be layers and things that are deeply beneath what it is you're asking for on the surface, but whatever it is that is the deepest, most fundamental longing of your heart, the thing you're seeking for, the thing you're longing for, even if you're already a believer and you just think, I just want, there's just more that I think I could be or should be experiencing in my relationship with you, Jesus, we actually like go there and go before the Lord and have this conversation. He's asking all of us, what do you want from me? And he's got the answer. He can fill that need. He can meet it, and he will. I believe that. Jesus, I want, you just fill in the blank. Now, the secret purpose for this series that I'm going to openly declare to all of you, it was a secret until right now, is this passage right here, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came to his disciples. This was after he rose from the dead, post-Easter. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Help people learn what it means to be a follower, to be my follower. Don't make disciples of yourselves, little followers of yourselves, but go and make disciples of me, teaching people to observe, to adhere to obey everything I've commanded you. This is what we're here for. Helping people find and follow Jesus, right? This is it. So, these are things we can talk about along the way as we're reading or studying a book of the Bible, and all of these things are good. But there's just great value in saying, okay, let's just lay this out. What do we actually mean by this? What do we mean when we say following Jesus? That's what this is all about. And what this also means is, part of teaching people to obey everything Jesus commanded, one of these things now that Jesus has commanded is go and make disciples. So if you do the logic, this means that following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, being an apprentice of Jesus, ultimately means there comes a point where I am now becoming a mentor for others. I am becoming one who helps others grow in their faith. I am becoming one who, I never stop being a student, but at some point I get to a place where I'm further along than somebody else. And so every believer, whatever point you're at in your journey, you need to get to a place where every believer can turn to someone who's coming into the faith, who's coming, who's making a decision to follow Jesus, and you're able to just meet them where they're at and talk through, help them understand the basics of what it means to follow Jesus. So anytime we have someone new coming into the church or growing in their faith, they're like, man, I just have some questions. It's not just the pastor's responsibility to take every person by the hand, and it's not all on the pastor or leaders of the church to do all of the discipleship ministry for the church, right? This is ultimately every believer's responsibility. And what a beautiful thing it would be if we foster a culture and a way of being a church where anybody just walks into our church or is new in their faith or has questions about the faith, and I could just point to the nearest body. Be like, they can help you. They're going to be able to answer questions. They're going to be able to help you take your next steps. That's what I'm talking about. The next passage here also relates to this. In Ephesians, we've looked at this before. Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So I'm kind of in that category, pastor, teacher. The whole purpose, the whole reason for these people, spiritual leaders in the church, is to equip the saints, to equip, to train, to prepare God's people, to prepare the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, so that we ultimately grow to maturity with a stature measured by Christ's likeness, so that we grow more and more individually and as a body, as a community, to look more and more like Jesus. That's what this is all about. That's the Christian life, learning to be more and more like Jesus. If we really had to make it one statement, that's probably what it would be. But that's what this will be all about. Next week, we're going to talk about responding to the gospel. That's really important. Is this just a one-time thing I do when I pray a prayer, right? Or is this a daily decision? Is this a daily reality that is front and center in my mind? Well, now you kind of already probably know the answer, right? But we'll talk about it next week. I'm excited. This week, ask, think, which one of these people am I, or just where am I, right? There's a spiritual map in your mind. Where am I, right? If you need some help, ask somebody. Like, man, where do you, if you're in a smaller group, your discussion group, you can talk about this. Give some thought to that and ask Jesus, what do you, no, don't ask Jesus, what do you want from me? He's already told us. But you tell Jesus, what do you want from, what was the question? Jesus is asking, what do you want from me, right? What do you want from Jesus? I couldn't have butchered that any worse, okay? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Ask that question.
Let's pray.
Lord, we come before you this morning and we are grateful for your grace, for your immeasurable love toward us that meets us in our brokenness, in our mess, in our rebellion, in our outright ignorance, and we're just the worst sometimes. But you still emptied yourself. You took on the form of a servant. You humbled yourself. You became obedient to the point of death on a cross so that we could be reconciled to you, so that we could be raised to walk in newness of life in response to your love and grace for us. Would you give us a sense of awareness, Lord, even now this week? Spirit, would you just, if there's just maybe some layers and hardness on our hearts, would you just begin to chisel away at that? Help us to see where we are. Help us to see maybe the things that we've let kind of take more of our hearts than are necessary, things that maybe distract us from the real purpose that you've given to us, for us. The things that we go to try to fill maybe some of that void and that hole that we experience, rather than just going to you, the one who is the only one who can ultimately satisfy those needs. Would you reveal those things to us? Give us the courage to just throw everything else away and look to you. I pray wherever anybody or everybody is at, that you would give us clarity and wisdom and just courage to take whatever next step you are calling us to take. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.